Hey, everybody. Welcome to App Chatter. I'm your host, Eric, and I am joined this evening by Brian.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And by Lou.
Hello, everyone.
And we are going to cover some news items, and then we're going to talk about the in-app purchases that are now available for free applications, and then we will have some recommendations. But for starters, guess what's coming up this week? Halloween, right? You guys excited?
Yay.
Best holiday of the year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
this could get interesting already. Wow, we've got controversy right out of the gate. I really
free
don't
candy
like
is always a good thing. You can't complain too much about
that. But
I
don't care about Halloween.
So you're kind of the Scrooge of Halloween, I see.
Well, I guess. All right. Well, my biggest problem with Halloween is I don't like ugliness and death, and Halloween tends to either be celebrating ugliness and death, or it tends to be so cheesy and commercialized and over the top that it's pointless. So it's like, you know, even if it's done right, I don't like it.
Okay, wow. Fair enough.
Okay, yeah, that's your opinion.
Well, the one nice thing about it for iPhone apps is at least we get away from the fart applications a little bit. We get into zombies and vampires, and they don't fart. So that's
awesome.
Some of
them do, actually.
A slight reprieve.
You ever played Left 4 Dead?
No. No, I have not. But,
well, I guess it's less farting and more belching. So.
Well, that's different. Well, you know, they're kind of rotting.
Vomiting.
Yeah. It's a little different.
Right. This is a great way to start the show there, by the way, just so you know.
Well, it is kind of a Halloween theme. Okay, we'll get away from the body noises and such. And let's see, iDracula. I don't know if you guys have played it, but it is on sale this week for 99 cents, just in time for Halloween. It's normally $2.99. And it is one of those dual joystick isometric shooters. I don't know if you guys have played many of those.
I played... oh gosh, what was the name of it? There was it was kind of like an Asteroids clone that was sort of used the dual joystick deal.
The what's it called? The meteor thing. See,
Isotope or whatever it is.
Oh, okay. I haven't played that one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's another one that just came out that's kind of popular called Meteor Blitz. But nice. Anyway, so it's for those of you who have not played them, if you are old enough to recall the old Smash TV coin operated video games. Where you had the one joystick that controls. Yeah, a long time
ago. The one that I remember was Robotron.
Oh, wow.
That was the same. Yeah, that was even older. That was 80s, man. That was hardcore.
Yeah. So the idea is you move your character around with one controller and then you shoot using a different joystick. So you can move in one direction and shoot in another. And there's some pretty good games like that on the iPhone. But iDracula is a good one. I've owned it for a while now. And so if you're hearing this in time, go check it out for 99 cents. It's a good game to pick up. And, you know, speaking of which, with the whole Halloween thing on the App Store, I don't know if you guys remember back to Christmas of last year, and there was a lot of little chintzy Christmas applications, and there were some cool things too, like, you know, gift organizers and such. But with all of the stuff coming out now with Halloween, I'm wondering if we're going to see this every single holiday where we just get bombarded with holiday applications. Does that bother you guys or...
Only from the standpoint that it's very hard to separate the wheat from the chaff, which I mean, I guess it's kind of one of the reasons we're here. But as a consumer, it's very difficult for me to figure out what is worth focusing on amidst all the noise. The signal to noise ratio is very tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a lot of Halloween apps last year, too, that were just kind of so-so. But then this year, it seems like there's, you know, three times as many.
Well, and like you said, they were kind of so-so last year. At least some of the ones coming out this year are good.
Mm.
You know, there's still a lot of junk out there, but at least there are some diamonds in the rough.
As long as you can find them.
Yeah, well, that's always the catch. But once again, that's why we're here. We're going to try to sift through the signal-to-noise ratio and find you the good applications. So let's see. A good application you can check out for free rather than 99 cents. There's a good racing game on the App Store called Real Racing. Good graphics, yeah. Good reviews. And the problem is it's about $7.
That's just over my line.
Yeah.
My line is like anything under five, I usually want anything between anything 99 cents is throwaway. It's just like, yeah, I'll pick it up. I don't even think about it. Between 99 cents and like $5, I have to like know that it's really good. Mm-hmm. Over $5, it really has to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be from somebody you either trust, you know, like EA or something like that, or somebody you've heard of before.
Or yeah, I've played it on somebody else's phone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but if it's like an unknown company that, like, you know, hey, here's an app for $6, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, this is one of those situations where there's no light version of the game as well. So, however, fortunately for us, VW has stepped in and is sponsoring a Real Racing GTI game. And it's basically a game-based advertisement for their 2010 GTI model of car, but it's in the Real Racing game. So the cool thing is you get to try out the game for free, and technically the entire game then kind of becomes an ad, but I don't know. I think it's a good idea. I think this is the way in which things should get sponsored in games. If you have an ad that does not interrupt the game and you don't feel like you're getting preached at, but you get to try the game out, I think that's a great mix.
Yeah, I assume they're paying these guys to have their version of this with their cars on there. So it's kind of like they're paying for the light version.
Right. So then we don't have to.
Right. So that's cool.
Yeah. So if you're interested in trying it out, Real Racing GTI is the way to find it. And we'll have a link for it in the show notes. But that is free. It's got three tracks, three different game modes, and apparently six different models of the the 2010 GTIs are different colors, at least. I have downloaded. I haven't got a chance to play with it yet.
And but, apparently it's getting hammered right now because downloading is slower than molasses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's taking me – it's 60 megabytes, but it says that it's got 14 minutes remaining over my connection.
So, maybe you need to fix your connection.
Actually, the other night I was getting 33 megs down.
Wow. Show off.
Yeah. I was actually really surprised by that. I went to my wife and said, can you go to this website and run this speed test and tell me what you're getting? It was actually fast enough. I was getting so much bandwidth through my cable modem that the wireless connection. My machine is wired into the router. Mm-hmm. Her machine was wireless, and we were actually saturating the wireless. So I was getting a higher speed than she was. The point of failure in our network was actually the G network, the 54 megabit per second connection.
Nice.
So, wow. Yeah.
Hey, can't complain about that.
So I was like, bonus.
Yeah, no kidding. All right.
So in seven minutes, I will tell you how GTI racing was.
Okay. We'll stay tuned. hey, and you know,
good. Don't go anywhere.
Speaking of tuning, how you like this transition?
I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah. Rock Band. Yeah, I've been practicing that one. Rock Band has finally been released for the iTunes Store, and it's a little bit more expensive than Tap Tap Revenge 3, and by a little bit, I mean 10 times as expensive.
It's got 10 times the name recognition, at least.
Yeah, and I recognize 10 times as many songs in it. And for me, that's really the key thing. Okay, so we're looking at basically a $10 app instead of a $1 app. Okay, and that's a big deal. But the songs, and I did not actually count how many songs are available in Tap Tap Revenge 3. I know there's supposedly a lot. I didn't recognize. I think I maybe recognized one song.
I think most of them are indie songs, aren't they?
And that's fine. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, that's not a complaint. But for me personally, I would rather have Rock Band, which I did pick up, by the way, and have songs that I know. I enjoy playing the songs that I know, even on the console games. You know, it's a different experience.
Well, it makes it a lot more, you know, personal, a lot more fun, too. I mean, you know, right, the song, you know what's coming up, you know how it's supposed to sound.
Exactly.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My fault. I just realized that Real Racing is by the same people that did Flight Control. It's by Firemint.
Oh, cool.
Flight you like it already? Flight Control may be my all-time favorite iPhone game.
Wow.
It's tight between that and Harbor Master, and you sensing a trend?
Brian likes to send people spinning in circles, basically, is what the situation is. We'll talk.
I do, too. I get an insane joy out of when it's kind of like a low traffic moment of just having a boat or a plane just flying around in a little holding pattern. So, well, I can just imagine the people on the boat or the plane getting all irritated because they can't land.
It could be like those guys in that Northwest flight.
Yeah, I was going to say they could have like a Minneapolis map and just make it so you can never land.
Did they ever figure out what's up with those guys?
Yeah, it was released today. There was a report that they were looking at their laptops I believe discussing they were having a discussion about scheduling or something like that. The new scheduling system.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were sleeping or they were drinking
The FAA yanked their licenses. They said there were multiple severe violations.
Absolutely. One of them should at least be looking at the controls.
Yeah, well, and they disregarded the flight control, the ground control instructions and all that. So those are big
plus, games. They neglected to turn their electronic devices off when they...
hypocrites. Anyway, so have either of you picked up either Tap Tap Revenge 3 or Rock Band?
I played Tap Tap Revenge. Actually, I played 2 or 3. I think I played... I'm trying to remember which one is installed right now.
Lou, what did you think of Rock Band?
I thought it was good. I mean, again, I think it goes back to the songs, because I tried Tap Tap 1, and yeah, it was okay, but I didn't realize, I didn't recognize any of the songs. It wasn't really what I wanted for music. And Rock Band seems to have more stuff that I've been at least known about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it.
Okay. Well, I mean, they both have downloadable content that's recognizable. It's just that Rock Band comes prepackaged with a lot of songs that are more mainstream.
That's true.
So,
although I kind of like, I think I might like the model of TTR3 better, because I mean, I look at the Rock Band, for example. I look at the Rock Band ones and think, man, I don't really care. I don't appreciate all of them necessarily. I'd have to look at the playlist, but I think it would be better to get maybe a couple of songs and then build my library out from that. With only ones that I know, so essentially the entire library would be things that I would want to play with, versus getting a huge pack of things that I don't really care about.
Well,
yeah, I think that'd be a much better model to go with. Let you pick and choose from a really vast library.
Yeah, I can see the merit behind that argument, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but it feels different to me. I would rather buy the package and know that there are songs in there that I like. And, I don't mind some new songs that I'm not familiar with. I'll admit there are some songs I picked up from the console versions of Guitar Hero and Rock Band that I hadn't heard before. But it's different. I can just sit down and the songs are just there and I don't have to worry about going and logging in. And I'm going to think to myself, okay, well, is it really worth 99 cents or $1.99 to get this song or these two or four songs? I mean, is this... do I really want this song or do I want this other song? Because, once they start doing this four or five times, I'm up to $10. I'm already past the price of Rock Band. So then I start micromanaging song selection so much that it just kind of takes the fun out of it.
Well, answer this for me for a second, though. And I've never owned them on a console. I played them, but never owned them. It seems to me the model they've been following has been you buy, Guitar Hero 3 or Rock Band, whatever. And then a year later, they have, the Beatles version, or they have, somebody else's version of it. Is that the way they've always done it, where you buy a whole new version of the game to get new songs?
Well, I mean, there's downloadable content that you can purchase from within the game. But yeah, I mean, there's been updates, but they always update the interface too. There's always, better graphics, or for example, the most recent version of Guitar Hero, the World Tour, had a different feature on the guitar. There was like a little... like a slide bar in more on the fret and closer to the base of the guitar where you could you could bend the notes up and down and things like that. So there's always some little feature that they throw into the interface too. But there's different versions. It's fairly recent that they've started doing like the Metallica one, and there's an Aerosmith Guitar Hero. Beatles Rock Band. But Tap Tap Revenge has been doing that too.
Yeah, they have the Nine Inch Nails version and some other stuff.
Yeah, and they just released a Metallica version within the last couple of days. That's supposed to be pretty good. Huh. But see, I would rather buy that where I feel like I know the songs rather than get just the empty skeleton of the interface and then have to go pick the songs out myself, because, I don't know, it just feels too much like I'm jumping through hurdles to get to what I really want. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I mean, they're both interesting models, and I mean, they're both going to do really well. So I'm not complaining. I'm pretty happy with both of them. Actually, the one thing is with the Rock Band, I'm getting a little bit of a delay for some reason. It's not synced, the audio and the game
timing,
interface.
Yeah.
And There's nothing in the settings to fix that. I don't know if it, maybe it's just me.
Well, I've noticed it a little bit of mine too. I was wondering at first because when you mentioned that it was going to be a 3G versus 3GS version, but I'm still getting some of that too. So,
Oh well. Well, it's a good game either way. And speaking of downloadable content, a little bit of a big news article came out about a week ago that they are now allowing in-app purchases for free applications in the iTunes Store. Now, as we know, I mean, we were just talking about, you know, Tap Tap Revenge, which has had downloadable content for a while now. You can do purchases within an application if you paid for the app. You just cannot do it with free apps. The reasoning behind that was they didn't want people getting tricked or suckered into buying something. But apparently they've lifted that. And I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
Well, does it just go through your iTunes account? How does that work? I haven't actually done it yet.
I don't think it always goes through the iTunes account necessarily. I think.
Well, because if it goes through that, I don't know. My biggest concern is kind of what you said is that it's not so much that you'd be tricked. It's more along the lines that you're going to get an app, and then in order to make the app truly useful, you're gonna get an app for free, and then in order to make the app truly useful, they're gonna just tack on, you know, oh well, this feature is $5, and that feature is $20, because there's not the same. I guess there's not the same direct competition. When you're in the App Store, you've got all of the other apps in that category to compete with it. So there's an immediate price pressure, a competitive pressure right there. If you're in the app, you can't tell what anything else, what any of the other prices are. So there's no comparison pressure. So it would tend to, one economically, one would think it would tend to drive prices up, which I'm not a big fan of. Obviously.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, driving prices up is not a good thing, but I don't know. As far as downloading an app and it not being useful without purchasing these other things, well, if it's not, then just delete the app.
Well, I guess, like I say, I guess the concern is that you use the app and it becomes, and it's fairly useful and you can see the usefulness in other ways. And if they had put that in the App Store, it might have been, say, 99 cents or maybe even something like $2.99 or $5.99 in the App Store in order to put all of that functionality into it. Well, now there will be, there's at least some pressure for developers to bring in, give the app away for free with very limited functionality, kind of get you hooked, get all of your data into it, and then say, oh, by the way, if you want the truly useful stuff, it's going to be an additional, you know, $5 for each feature so that they can actually get 15, 20 bucks out of you. I think the temptation to do that is going to be very strong. It may not work for everybody, but there are enough developers that may try it that, you know, it's like, well,
that's actually already being done today. I mean, when you get a free app or a light version of the app, and if you like it, you go back and get the pay version. I don't know. I mean, how many times have I gone back in to buy the full version and gone, well, let me see what else is out there. Let me see if I like anything else better. I just, you know, I like the app. I'll get the paid version.
Well, I think that's kind of an interesting theory. I don't know that they would do it about charging per feature.
I don't. Why not?
Well, because, I mean, for one thing, it would tick people off enough that you might get kind of a bad reputation if you're the only one doing it. But if nothing else, I think you hit upon something kind of interesting there that nobody else is really talking about. When you're outside of the App Store, you don't have this 99-cent pressure anymore. I mean, we've seen apps that are, well, I mean, look at Peggle, for example. If you buy Peggle for your desktop, whether the Mac or PC, it's $19.99. And frankly, you know, it's worth it. A lot of, not so much the casual games, but a lot of mainstream computer games are around $50. And a lot of the more casual games that you download off the net are around $20, so that's a good price. But in the App Store, it's $5. And yet I've seen people who are like, well, you know, $5, that seems kind of high. Even though it's the same exact game that you get on your desktop. So there's this mentality in the App Store that things need to be either free or 99 cents. And at the most, you got to keep it under $5. So if you draw the user away from the App Store by giving them a free app, and then within the app telling them, okay, well, you can upgrade to the pro version for $19.99. Well, if they're going to be able to get $19.99 from somebody, it might be more effective to do it that way than putting a pro version in the App Store for that much. I mean, that's kind of an interesting take. I don't know if that's what you were trying to get at or not. But
well, yeah, that sort of is the idea that if you don't have the comparison pressure mm-hmm. of other things that are cheap right next to it on the shelf, so to speak, then the tendency is to drive the price up. So
yeah. So one benefit of this, though, is that we're probably going to have a lot more of the so-called light applications. I mean, like we were just talking about the Real Racing game where there was no light version of it until just recently. And I'm not going to go drop $7 on a game that I've not actually had a chance to play. So this could really open the door for developers to have a little bit more incentive to do a free version of the game, and then you unlock different levels. So overall, I think this is going to be pretty beneficial because you're going to be able to sample a lot more games.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I think that when they first announced that, when they had that, you know, when they first announced it was going to be in 3.0 and paid, you know, in-app purchases, I thought, oh, wow, that'd be great, because now you can get that first level of a game for free and then buy the next levels as you go along. And then mm-hmm. they dropped the bomb and said, well, you can't do on free apps. So I think this is going to be a step forward for game developers, especially game developers. I'm not sure how much it's going to work for other kinds of apps.
Well, yeah, I think that, well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, you were pointing out shareware on desktops a few minutes ago, and I think there are a lot of business applications where they would benefit from having a light version and then you unlock more features or something. Like, for example, I downloaded a database application that would let you have, I think, 5 records. And if you wanted more than that, you could buy the pro version. So I think that it's... Mm. I think it's got a lot of room in like the productivity and business market as well. I don't think it's just limited to games.
Well, I find that's actually something that's kind of interesting is I have a problem with that model. You can use it for, you know, you can use it for 2 files or you can use it for 5 records or whatever else like that, because that doesn't really give you an idea of what the application is like. I mean, if it's something, for example, if it's a database and you use 5 records, but you know what, and it works great for 5 records, but at 20 records, it's coded so poorly that the performance is useless, then that hasn't really given you a good a really good view of the application. I would much prefer fully featured ones that time out, and I don't know how you do that on the iPhone, given the fact that you can uninstall and reinstall so easily. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. But the idea of non-fully featured ones, you know, that lets you do all of the records, but maybe you can't sort the same way, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. The idea of only giving you a limited amount to work with. But I mean, this is kind of a different topic. We're not really talking so much about that. But, you know, still, I don't like that model. So,
okay, well, fair enough.
Throw that out there.
I think that you're probably right that the timing out ability is probably not going to work with iTunes applications, but or at least not easily.
Actually, I was thinking about that. And there's another way to think about it. And that is there's another way to make it useful, that so many of the apps now, a lot of the games especially, use a cloud format for saving high scores and names and everything else like that. If mm-hmm. you were to make the key, if you will, the unlock key tied into your cloud account, and so that you would only be able to, like, you'd be able to have a database and it would be fully featured for 30 days and then that key would be synchronized kind of onto the cloud, and then the data would also be synchronized to that key, so that if you did uninstall it and reinstall it, even if you set up a new cloud account, that new account wouldn't have access to the old data. That'd be a way to time it out. You just maintain it in the cloud.
Yeah, I think that's the same way that Recall does it. There's a program called Recall for doing like, you know, get it done stuff. And when you first get it, it's a free version of a they give you all the features. And after 30 days, I think some of the features go away.
Yeah, I mean,
if you don't sign up, they're online. Yeah,
that's a good model too. My only issue with that personally is I don't like things that rely on the cloud, especially on a portable device. If I'm in the metro or something and I'm in an underground tunnel, I'm not going to necessarily have wireless access. Or, you know, if I go off into the rural mountains of Kentucky or something, you know, I might not always be in an area where I'm going to be able to plug into the cloud, and then I don't have my data. So I mean, there are pros and cons either way. But back to the in-app purchases. Do you guys see any downside to this, especially with the free apps? I mean, the whole thing about getting scammed and stuff. I mean, are you guys worried about clicking on a settings button and all of a sudden having a $100 charge come out of your account or something like that? I mean,
well, I think that could be a concern. I mean, some of the stuff can be worded, you know, in a very kind of tricky way, or at least so you don't really realize what you're getting into sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the Kindle stuff. Earlier this year, they were talking about some people were trying to sync Kindle books that they had downloaded across to new devices after they've, you know, let's say replaced their iPhone or something like that, and they weren't able to, and they called customer service and discovered that Amazon has restrictions on how many times you can download a book. But because it's enforced by the publishers, or rather it's determined by the publishers, they don't announce how many times it is for each book, and it could vary from book to book.
Each book's different, yeah.
And yeah, so if that happens in the iTunes store with an app that you get from there, I mean, do you complain to Apple? Do you complain to Amazon? I mean, some of these developers out there don't really have good customer service workflows set up. They don't really have a way to get in touch with anybody. So, I mean, I guess maybe there are some downsides in that regard, but overall, I'm pretty happy with it. And I think that, I mean, looking at some of the different applications that would take advantage of this, I think it's going to open up a lot of new things. Like, what's the first-person shooter that's coming out soon that everybody's talking about, where they're going to allow you to purchase different guns or armor or basically power-ups within the game?
The whole concept of, you know, of anything, whether that be in MMOs or in FPSs or anything else like that, of you know, purchasing loot.
I knew this would set you off.
I just hate it. I just don't like it. But then again, you know what? I don't really care anymore because I gave up on the MMO addiction. So I'm clean. I've been clean for months now. How about that?
There you go. We're very proud of you.
They should like give you a chip, just like an AA. You know, like I'm 3 months clean, brother.
Well, you know, but that's really what it's like. I mean, it's kind of like gold farming. Well, it's not really like gold farming, but it's like selling gold in an MMORPG. If you can just buy your way to a more powerful character, then everybody's got to do it, or, you know.
Well, and I guess the question is, is it a single player or is it a multiplayer? If it's a multiplayer, then it's kind of lame.
Yeah, I agree.
If it's a single player, I still think it's lame, but at least it's not as lame as the fact that you get screwed if you're not rich.
If it opens up a new, what's the word I'm
looking for? I don't necessarily mind like levels.
A new level of enjoyment to the game in a single player, like then I don't mind.
Okay, so for example, if FireMint came out with in-app purchases of new maps, you know, new airfields or whatever else like that.
Okay.
And they were like 99 cents. That would be rough because so far they've given us four or five different airfields for free. Mm-hmm. If they came along and said, we're going to start charging you, you know, what we charged you for the app now for each one. But if they came along and maybe
did a pack
of five new ones, I'd probably go with it. Same thing with like Harbor Master or whatever. Yeah, I'd probably,
I think that's
go for
okay,
that.
Because you're getting more.
Yeah.
Use out of the game, you know.
And actually at this point, I mean, I feel kind of bad because I thought flight control was totally worth it when I had the one map. And so to be given all of these different things, and now I'm like, well, yeah, but if they charge me 99 cents for the next one, then I'd be kind of bitter. And that's because that's only because they set my expectations so high already. Yeah. If they would have come up with a pack of probably even two or three, I would gladly pay them another 99 cents for that.
All right. Well, let's move on to our picks. Brian, what's your pick for this week?
Well, I think I might actually, after spending just a couple minutes with it, I think I might pick that GTI Racing. That was actually pretty cool.
You've been sitting here playing the game while we're talking.
No, I went about halfway around the track. But it looks great. Actually, it looks fantastic. I'm actually looking forward to getting a chance to. No, what I'm going to do is I'm a little bit of a Twitter addict. And for the longest time, I used Tweety. Mm-hmm. And I loved Tweety, and it was great. And it was the standard by which I judged all other Twitter applications. And I hadn't found one that I liked quite as much. It obviously had some rough edges, but it was still, you know, the best or certainly one of the best. And I had no problem paying for it. So when I heard about Tweety 2, Even with the fact that they were like, well, even with the fact that 8-Bits was going to say, all right, well, you have to buy it because we spent a lot of time developing it, and so we're going to charge you for it. That didn't bother me. That didn't bother me because I thought, you know what, it's been good, and I don't think if they really are completely redeveloping it, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be paid for it. And so I picked it up, and I love it. I think it's great. I think it is the best Twitter client I've ever used, Mac, Windows, or whatever else. I mean, there are a few advantages to obviously having various different Twitter clients and different functions mm-hmm. On a PC or on a Mac. For a web client, I really like Brizzly. It's still in beta, but that's brizzly.com. But Tweety, too, as far as an iPhone Twitter client is, you know, probably the best I've ever used. It's really simple to use, and it's great, and it just absolutely definitely, if you're into Twitter, pick it up.
What now, in your opinion, what separates it from the other Twitter clients out there?
Okay, well, in the interest of full disclosure, it's been months since I've used other Twitter clients.
Okay,
and I know people use like TweetDeck and such like that, and they have a feature that I really wish Tweety would have, and it probably will when the new version of Tweety comes out for the Mac, and that is the ability to sort of synchronize what you've seen and what you haven't between the desktop and the Twitter client, mm-hmm. The iPhone client. So I'm looking forward to that when it finally comes out. But I like the fact that it just flows really well. It lets you know when you have directs or when you have at replies. It lets you easily navigate between them. It doesn't do groupings, but I've tried groupings in things like I don't use groupings, but I've tried them in things like TweetDeck and that sort of thing, and I just mm-hmm. don't care. I'm very careful about my follow list, and so the people on my follow list are people that I actually care about most of what they're saying. So I don't need to separate people out. And we're actually having a discussion at work about possibly doing a research paper about how Twitter and Facebook and various forms of linear social media, like that linear status updates, affect cognitive processing. So I'm actually kind of interested in how that changes the way that I interact and how that I view information, everything else like that. So, but that's completely separate. But I really like the way that it presents the conversations. I like the fact that it's very simple to respond, you know, uses swipe gestures. I mean, even little things, just little touches, like the way that you reload. There's no reload button. Instead, what you do is you get to the top of the application and you pull it down past the top tweet and then let it snap back. And that's the gesture for reload. For refresh. So it's like, it's like, give me more. Anyway, so it has a lot of those little touches that make it, if not a perfect iPhone application, very, very close. So, and it's a matter of personal preference. If you're really used to your other Twitter clients, you know, I'm not going to say that you're going to find Tweety amazing, but I loved Tweety 1. And so Tweety 2 is just a great enhancement, totally worth the upgrade price.
Cool. Okay, Lou, what about you?
My pick is going to be the NASA application. About 10 years ago, I lived in Florida, and it was great to get all the NASA, you know, stuff all over the news every night, the local news covered, you know, when launches were happening, everything else. This is, you know, way back before we had instant access on the internet. So now, with the iPhone app, it's kind of a one-place spot to get, you know, Twitter feeds from NASA, updates on launches, different missions going on. Today, they had the scrubbed launch of the Ares launch vehicle, and it was, you know, live video feed on there. It was great. It was just a nice way to capture everything you wanted in one little spot.
Okay, so is it basically primarily a news application just for everything related to NASA? Does it have any other features?
It's got video feeds, it's got picture feeds, it's got information on, you know, each one of their departments and so forth, as you want to call it that. And you know, stuff like today, they did have the NASA TV, you know, streamed live and everything, which is great.
Cool. Okay.
So, it was kind of cool. It was just a nice, easy way to find everything. You could pick it up off the web just as easily, but I shouldn't say just as easily because the app is just that much easier.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool. All right, my pick for this week is going to be a game called Spider, The Secret of Bryce Manor. I figured I'd stick with the Halloween theme for this week. And even aside from that, this game it's different from a lot of other games out there. You play a spider, and you make your way through this mansion that has been abandoned, and has insects all over it, flies and bugs and bees and wasps and all kinds of things. And the idea is that you use your finger to swipe the spider across the screen and build spider webs by connecting threads, then catching the bugs, and then eating the bugs to get more web content and to feed yourself. And then you clear out the levels and make your way through the mansion. There's kind of a little bit of a backstory going on. As you move through the environments, you kind of discover what happened to the inhabitants of the mansion as it progresses. But it's kind of cool because it's a very easy game that you can just sit down and play very casually. It's easy to pick up. It's very intuitive with the controls. And there's also a few other game modes that are more intense and are timed or have other challenges in it. Like you've got a limited amount of web fluid, things like that. And
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know. You know, you're halfway up the wall and all of a sudden you just fall right down. It gets messy. But anyway, seriously, this game is a lot of fun. I can't recommend it highly enough. I think off the top of my head, I want to say it's $2.99 in the App Store. But I got to tell you, I unequivocally recommend that you pick up this game. It's a lot of fun. And there's, you know, achievements and secret areas. And I guess if you're into posting scores to Facebook, I think there's a feature where you can do that, too. So that's my pick for this week.
Cool. Here, that's one of the things I really like about Tweety is that anything that you're doing, you can actually paste it to post it to Twitter directly.
Yeah, well, you know, with Spider, you can post to Facebook and you can kill and eat insects. And you can't do that with Tweety.
That's true. But if you in real life kill and eat insects, you can post that to Twitter.
You know, I gotta tell you,
bugs with your iPhone though too.
Well, yeah, that's true. But
as long as you have a good case, you don't want to get it on the actual iPhone.
Exactly. You know, I've done both real life and in-game insect killing, and I have to say it's more fun in Spider.
I thought it was just insect eating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I haven't. I've never intentionally.
That's getting worried.
Bug.
Yeah. Well, I think this this wraps up this episode.
We're kind of.
Then we started with zombie flatulence and we'll end with insect eating. I think that's a pretty good start to finish there.
Good book engine.
All right. So you can follow us on Twitter. I am twitter.com/EricBlythe. That's EricBlythe. And Brian, why don't you give me your Twitter address?
Twitter.com/mintcondition, MintCondition.
And Lou?
Twitter.com/LouSecki, LouSecki.
All right, and you can contact us via email at podcast@appchatter.com. And that's it for this week. Tune in again next week where we will have more app recommendations for you. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.